I knew usually when you're going to preach something like this, I didn't let anybody know when I was preaching, because usually either the preacher's gone and people don't want to show up, or when you start talking about generosity and giving, people don't want to show up, regardless who's preaching. And so today we're going to be looking at that, and now I want you all to really put your own ideas and your own opinions about giving and kind of put them down for a minute, because listen, your opinion and your ideas and your things and your thoughts and my opinion and my ideas and things and thoughts do not trump God's word. We said that last week. Many people say that the Lord speaks to them, and I said, that's great. The Holy Spirit does speak. But I want to remind you that God's word definitely does not contradict. When God speaks to you, it does not contradict God's word. Those two go in line together. God's not going to tell you something that contradicts his word. Okay? So we're going to be in a couple places this morning, and I'm glad you're here today. And I'll tell you, giving is one of the hardest things sometimes for us to do when we start growing up. I remember when the Lord convicted my heart on giving, and I did not like it, but I worked through it. And I'm so glad that I listened to the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad, because there's a part we're going to read today that it doesn't matter. God is a beautiful giver. You can never outgive God, and God wants to give. And I think sometimes God holds back from giving to us because we're not ready, we're not thankful for it, we're not expecting it, we never asked for it, and those kind of things. But I want to go into two places. I want to go into an Old Testament piece this morning. We are going to look at Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to be also in the New Testament. So let's turn to the Old Testament first. And as we know, do you know the Old Testament and the New Testament, they mirror each other? People always think the Old Testament. There are churches out there today, you will find preachers that will not preach on the Old Testament, that they only preach on the New Testament. Let me tell you, God's Word in the Old Testament is just as strong as is the New Testament, because it is all the Word of God, right? So I just can't eat my vegetables. I got to have some meat from time to time. I can't just eat the cupcakes on the table. I got to have the whole meal. And the whole meal is from Genesis to Revelations. Amen? So we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3. Now I want to tell you right now that God's people are in a mess at this time. They know of God, but they ain't worshiping God. They ain't doing it right. They know of God, but they're over here flirting around with these little gods, these little eyes and little idols, and their hearts are far from God, but they're trying to play. Some of them are trying to play the game of attending, but they're not there. Their body's there, but their hearts are far away. And so there's a part where God's people are a mess. But I want to tell you, the priests are really messed up here in Malachi. Really messed up. And the offerings and the sacrifices they're doing is not acceptable to God, because they're just a mess. They're just kind of going through the rituals. The ones that are even showing up are just going through the rituals. And so what happens is we see some pieces here, but there's a lot of questions in this small book and small letter. There's a lot of questions here, but we're just going to get to a couple of them, and we want to look at this part here. And many of us says, "Oh, we're going to look at robbing God today." Well, we are going to look at robbing God today, and that's okay, right? I don't want to rob God. I do not want to rob God. And I want to tell you this: God doesn't need my money in the way that we think that means. God owns everything. It is us to get under this thing of obedience. It's us for us to get into that area, because he's given us so much through his son Jesus. We're going to get there shortly too. But he comes into this place in Malachi chapter 3. He says, "Since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them." In verse 7, he says, "Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." Now, I told you that the Bible kind of mirrors itself. Here he says, the Lord says this, "Return to me and I will return to you." This is a theme we've had for a while, right here. New Testament, right here in James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen. The Old Testament mirroring the New Testament. And he says this, he says, "Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." But you ask, how can we return? It almost feels like they just got some really stubborn kids, rebellious kids. He says, how do we rob you? How do we rob you? Because he says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. And you ask, how do we rob God? And he says this, by not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You're suffering under a curse. Yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing God. Now, I look at this thing, how can we return? It's really an odd piece, because this starts off without rendering your hearts. We know that that is true. But this is also about rending the pocketbook. But like I said, the Old Testament mirrors the New Testament, and the New Testament mirrors the Old Testament. In Matthew 6, Jesus said this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So wherever your treasure is, your heart is right there. People that love to womanize or manonize, whatever you want to say it, where do they find their heart? Where? Where's their treasure? They're in the clubbing every night. Those who are alcoholics, where their treasure? Their treasure is the alcohol. Even they may not want it, but that's where it is. And that's where they will spend their time. You will spend your time and your finances on what you want to spend your time and finances on.
That's right.
And he says, you are suffering under a curse. I love it when, you know, just, well, we'll get there in just a minute. I'm going to get ahead of myself. He says, this is how you do it. You bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Now, let's just stop for a minute. He says, I got to get another Bible, hon. I just can't see this one. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Now, some people just, you know, that's, this is the whole food. This tenth is about everything, okay? I want to share with you today, now, I'm not going to be one of those people that are going to sit there and I am not a pastor that looks through what you're giving is. That's between you and God. That's not between you and me. I'm not going to sit there. I know pastors that do that. That's them. I'm not going to sit there and look and then sit there and not give you a position because you only give 7%. I'm not going to do that. That's God's business, okay? But my business, he's called me to at least teach and preach it, right? So today, I got a few apples here today, and I'm not smart. I need to figure out how to do this. And I was sitting there trying to figure out how to do this one day, and the God revealed to me, Jimmy, it's smarter, it's smart. Don't make it complicated. It's easy. Don't make it so complicated. So I sit there, and I was asking the Lord about it a few years ago, about 10 years ago. And I said, Lord, tell me about this giving piece. And explain to me really what it's all about. And he says, if you get 10 apples, I want one. I just want one. So here's 10 apples, and so here it is. If I made $10, and I remember working as a kid, getting $10, and the Lord says, I want a dollar. Now, does he need the dollar? I don't think he needs a dollar because he has all of everything anyway. But what I think he's doing is saying, I want you to learn to grow up in Jesus. I want you to learn to grow up in the Word of God. And I want you to know, because there's going to be times when you're going to need to, I want to use you as a vessel for my kingdom. Because I'm going to send some missionaries out. I want to build churches. I want to do things. I'm going to do those through people. So, he says, I want one apple for every 10 you get. Now, I think that's pretty simple. But he told me, and then he said, now that's not what we give. That's not what most of us give. Now, God doesn't want us to give it reluctantly. He wants us to get, you know, we're going to see this part about cheerful heart. We should not give it greedily or holding back. We should do it because we love the Lord, right? But what we do is we say, Lord, I still want a little bit more. And we look at that, and then we look at that 5%, and we go, man, I don't know. These are all mine. These are mine. You can't touch them. And God wanted one, but I'm going to take some of this back because I don't think I still have enough. And I'm going to think about giving this to God, but I want to tell you, a few years ago, the Southern Baptist came out with an article that said that the average member of a Southern Baptist church was not even giving 5%, but only 2.5%. Now, what we're saying is that 90% is not enough, because we know Uncle Sam likes to dip in there too. Believe me, you don't want to see my taxes, because Pastor, and Bob's or whatever, because it's not that when you make so much, it's because you got to figure out how to add write-offs. But that's a business of another world. We're still responsible for that. But here's what God says. I want that. Now here we are. We made it all into a mess. We pulled it back. We pulled more back. And here's the thing. I have 2.5% sitting right here in my hand. This is what I want to give God. Okay? I want to get, now I've chosen to do differently than what God's word says. Now, if I do this, basically what I'm doing is I'm saying, God, here, I want to give you a bite. And here's the thing. If I want more apples, guess what? I need more what? What's inside those apples? Seeds. In a 2.5%, there is no seed. Nothing else is coming out of this except that moment of a bite. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I was to say, you know what? I look at this and I say, you know what? I've done this enough, God. I've cut this up enough. I've cut this up enough. I've damaged this up enough. And that, so what I need to do is I need to learn how to keep that and just let God give the whole thing. There's 5 or 6 seeds in here. 5 or 6 seeds can go a long way. You dry them out and you plant them. Guess what? You get some more seed. You get some more apple trees. God understands giving. We need to understand giving. And he says this. You take that. This is what you're doing. You're robbing me because in that storehouse, in that 2.5%, this is where the next piece is coming. The blessing's coming some out of that. But we do this and there's not much blessing coming out of this. Okay? So, he says this. Now, he says, test me in this. He says, test me in this. It says the Lord. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without a measure. Now God's saying, I want you to test me in this. I don't find any other place in the Bible where he says, test me in this. But we can do that. We say, Lord, now, here's the thing. We don't want to sit there and say, God, I'm going to do 10%. I'm going to do it reluctantly. I'm going to put it in there and I'm going to wait for you to bless me. I don't think that's what God is doing. I think God's saying, hey, you know what? I need to trust my Father as he is the Father. Trust my Father. Let him take care of me. Learn a little patience. And what happens is over some time, we'll begin to see that there's a harvest being built up around us, even just through some basic giving. And churches today, right now, I was looking up, and I wanted to tell you that we don't want to give out of a grudging heart. We want to give because it's the right thing to do. It's the biblical thing to do. And we see this piece here that God says, you people are so messed up. This is how you return to me. You return to me by start giving, because where your giving is going in all the wrong places. And there is a part of growing up in the Lord where you start to get your giving straight. And one thing I've noticed this, once you start giving, I'm just saying some of the things, once you start giving that, what God has there for you, and that 10%, is this. You find a peace in giving right off the bat. I'm just saying. There's a peace in giving. Your attitude changes toward giving. It really does. Your attitude toward giving changes. And when you give and you don't really, you got all this other stuff piling up and everybody's wanting this and this and that, and you got the house rent, you got the car, you're sitting there thinking, well, this is all I got. And that's where you got to learn to trust the Lord. That's where you learn how to trust the Lord. Giving is very, very important. It is a part of growing up in Jesus. It is a part of us being a part of that we lay it down. We don't lay it down proudly. We lay it down with love, and we lay it down with a heart, knowing that from the Word of God, it tells me, we see Abraham did the same thing. And here's so many people say, well, since Jesus came, all that went away. Listen, we shouldn't be like that. We should say, listen, I should even do more if I can. Because God has given me so much. Because I'm telling you, we are not very good people. We are not, most of us are not very good with money anyway. And we do a lot of investing. I don't do a lot of investing. I have a little thing with Guidestone, but a lot of people have investing. You have 401ks, all those kind of things. We trust people with the funds that we give to them. And about 2006, a lot of people lost a lot of money. But I want to tell you this, when you put this and you invest your giving into the Lord, I'm going to tell you, it never comes back void, brother. That's right. You don't get a bankrupt. You don't lose. You always win when you do it with the right heart. So giving is a big piece. Giving is a big piece in growing up. And I really, truly believe once you learn to give, your attitude toward the church, toward the Lord, toward the Word, it just flows. It is really good. Now I want to go into 2 Corinthians, because my time is going to be ticking before I know it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, we have these other things that we call these generosity offerings, whether it be Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, our Lifehouse mission, or I should say the New Life Ministries giving. There you go. And while you're turning over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I think you guys were told, I was gone the next Sunday, but you know that during our New Life Ministries first annual benefit night that the Lord gave us $26,500. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think we can pull that out of here. Unless you've just been hoarding for years. But I'm just saying, the Lord had brought us $26,500. Me and Carla went to a benefit Friday night for the Fort Wayne Rescue Carers House. It was for the women and women and children's house. We sat there, went through their live auction. I've been to their other event, their fall event, but never their spring. It was a very educational thing for me. But that night, long story short, that night, I believe that they raised probably $200,000 within a few hours. Because but here it is. They started 7 years ago with 250 people, and 7 years later, on Friday night, they had well over 1,000 people there that night, and they had a lot of people, and they were not afraid to say Jesus all over the place. They were lifting up the name of the Lord. They are not ashamed of that. But they've been around 100 years. They've been around 100 years. And so I want to say that then they go around, and from time to time they will ask, and as we will talk, and one thing I've never done is I've never asked anybody for a certain specific amount for our ministries. I've never asked, would you give $500? Would you give $1,000? I've never asked that specifically. I will share the story and give opportunities and let the Lord work through them. And God has been very faithful. There have been times we've come down to a place where we've been really to a point of what we're going to do. And you know what? When I get to that point, you know what that means? It's time to go into some deeper prayer. And sometimes I think God allows us to get to that point because our prayer life has not as strong than is when we are struggling. And our prayer life is stronger when we're struggling financially. And so I think here we're coming to a place here in New Life Ministries right now. New Life Ministries, it's not, you know, we have some funds. And there's a moment to breathe for a moment, just for a moment, because we know funds don't last forever. They're to be used. And God will watch us and see how we do as we begin to finish up the house behind us. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to see the motivation for giving. Paul is going around, they're doing a collection now. This is not about the tithe, but about a special gift. And he's talking to the Macedonians, and he's saying, listen, he says, Macedonians, I've been bragging to these guys about how you give, and you know, we're going to come, and let me read this last part here. Verse 5, therefore I consider it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance the generous gift that you promised, so that it will be ready as a gift and not as an extortion, which means to me that I don't have to come and pull teeth. But right there before that verse here in verse 4, he says, you don't want to be embarrassed. So here's the group of people in Corinth. He's sitting there writing them saying, hey, I've been really boasting about you guys and your giving and about what you do for the Lord. And here it is. I want to tell you some things. And he begins with this. Remember this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. We see, I need to stop for a minute because something just came to my mind. I just need to share this. Listen, you don't tithe. Your service and your time. I've heard people say this before. Well, I don't give 10%, but I serve. I give hours to make up my 10% in giving. Listen, that's time, talent, and a treasure. We need to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord is different than our giving to the Lord. Okay, when you serve, you're putting your hands on it. When you're serving, you're putting your hands in it. When you're giving, you're letting your hands let go. Okay, so you're letting go, okay? So we see this piece here. He says, remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, okay? Now, when we do these 10 apples, and I'm not trying to get legalistic on you, I'm just sharing, 10 apples, here it is, I've already cut one up, I've learned that, you know what, I've used to do it this way, but now I've given God back the whole, so I'm doing that, and out of that, there's that. Whoops, I'm going to make a mess up here. So we have the 10%. That's gone, okay? That's gone. I've invested that in the Lord's call, Lord's word. I trust the Lord. Gave my offering. great. Now there comes times when there's other offerings and other givings and those kind of things that we have and through ministries that God has. So we look through here and we look through my pot, and then this is the part. He says, now listen, if you give, right, if you give generously, it just abounds much more. If you say, you know what, I gave God mine and that's it, the rest is mine. And sometimes we get into financial situations. Sometimes you're not able to give as much as you were maybe last year. We do have things that rise, but we look and we pray about that. I believe this. God needs to be a part of your giving experience. God needs to be a part of your thinking about what you're going to give. Now, this message should not hinder you in any way. If it does, then you got a problem with giving. Because I'm telling you, giving is a very important part of the work of God. And it comes down and he says this. He says, each person should do as he has decided in his heart. A lot of people stick there. Well, that's what I decided and that's it. Okay, great. But God is also, he begins to say, but not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerfulness. We should be encouraged to give. We should be happy to give. We should be thanking the opportunity. It is a privilege to give to the kingdom of God. You know, I know we're not going to be judged in heaven when we stand before God. We're not going to be judged in that way because, you know what, Jesus saved me. I'm going to be able to go. You're saved. You're going to be able to go into heaven. But we will stand and give an account of our life. We're going to be given an account for our life before God. Giving is a part of that. You don't want to just be a receiver. You know, it's really hard for me sometimes to go to another benefit. You know, I'll give something, but I want to give big. I want to give like one of those guys that give big dollars. I just want to do it. Not for my name to be. I just want to give. We receive so much. I want this church sometime to give back in another way. People say, well, you guys do in all kinds of ways. No, I want to be able to give something that has nothing to do with New Life or New Life Ministries. Just give it away. Let go of it and give it to God and see what happens. Because God is amazing. Because it's bigger than New Life Ministries. It's bigger than New Life Fellowship. He says, each person should do as he has decided in his heart. That means in decided his heart means what? I'm going to pray about that piece. And he says, and God is able to make every grace overflow to you. I think, and so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. I think there's a little bit of that piece there saying, you know what? There's something we don't talk about much in. We just don't talk about sacrificial giving much. Because that means sacrificial giving means, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice that, which means I can't really figure out how I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it because he's passed away, but my father was a very sacrificial giving man. I've seen him write checks to this church and ministries where he didn't have it. And I'm telling you, he said, Jimmy, I do it because the Lord has put that on my heart. And he's always given me more than what I've given. And it was one of the big things that he did was sacrificial giving in so many ways. And so I see that part as that, and he says, my grace is enough. And so he says, my grace will overflow to you. So even though you may not be able to take care of it, you do it because here's what God's doing. He's looking, his Holy Spirit looks to see who is obedient. If you're not obedient in giving, he's got to really press his Holy Spirit to get you to get to that point of giving. But if you're giving and you're working through it and you're growing and you're giving, God's going to maybe press on you just a little bit more and say, listen, now it's time. You begin to grow up. You're understanding giving the regular offering you give from time to time. But I'm going to teach you something about sacrificial giving. You know where sacrificial giving leads to, don't you? The giving, the kind of giving that God gave through his son, Jesus. Right? That big sacrificial giving so that we can learn from that. He said, the grace will overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. He says, it is written, he scattered and he gave the poor, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Listen, when I write my checks or whenever I give, listen, I pray over them. I try to pray over every one of them. Even if it's the same amount every week or it's different here, different there, that God may bless that. That he had a part in that. It's not just write it, throw it, toss it in there and turn away. I believe the Bible says, you know, that many times I believe that, you know, when we take communion that we're to examine ourselves. I think we need to examine ourselves when we give. It's a part of worship. It's a part of that experience. You ever give with tears? from time to time. The sacrificial giving can be very difficult for most of us. But once you do that and you understand that and God's calling you, I'm going to tell you, it is amazing peace to let go of something that you are entrusting. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So my money is not my treasure. My treasure is Jesus. So I'm going to trust in Him. I'm going to give more than what... There's times, and you're going to give more than what you can afford. But you know what? I'm always reminded of this. God is my supplier. You may have a job, but God is your supplier. He's the one that had that job, being able to be there for you, to raise the funds that you need, and to earn them. But He says, now the one who provides seed for the sower, the seed for the sower, okay, and bread for food, will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He's saying, you get this, if you begin to understand the process of giving, He says, you'll understand that the one who provides the seed for the sower and the bread for food will provide also for you. And He'll multiply your seed. This church has been multiplied in so many ways. One way is not, as we see a massive lot of empty seats here. But God is using that for His strength, for the boasting of Himself, showing that many churches come in here and go, how can you do what you do with such a small crowd? We say this, it is only by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and God that we are able to accomplish what we can accomplish. So we give Him the boast, we give Him that, we put Him in the spotlight and not ourselves. Amen, too. That happened last week as well. He says, you will be enriched in every way for all the generosity which provides thanksgiving to God through us. All that giving is so that we can thank God for what He's doing with it. All that giving gives thanks to God. And God, I'm going to tell you, you cannot outgive God. We haven't been able to do it so far, have we? Could you imagine it? Every time that God had answered one of your prayers, you owed Him something. Every time you asked God for something, that you owed Him something. Thank God we don't have a God like that. He is very loving and very caring, but He does expect us to be obedient, to follow Him, and to take heed to His voice. He says, for the ministry in verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. If there's anyone that understands ministry, it is Jesus Christ. He had the greatest ministry on the face of this earth. All those who were demon-filled flocked to Jesus. All those who were destitute flocked to Jesus. All those who were sick and diseased flocked to Jesus. All those who were heard that the Messiah has arrived, they ran to Jesus. All those who wanted to hear that new opportunities and this thing called salvation ran to Jesus. And the crowds were all around Him and they were pushing and shoving on Him all over. Listen, those people understood. They were in a desperate place and they needed, and they were looking at hope in front of them. And Jesus understood ministry. Amen. Right. And then while He walked on this earth, and He did and fulfilled all that He needed to, it was in Acts when the church began to come alive. And the church came, and He began to work through His Holy Spirit in the church. And they began to bring in all that they had. And they began to flow and begin to move. And the church just erupted. And then all of a sudden God says, you know what, I'm going to split them and push them out. And the gospel is going to keep going, because God's idea of the ministry wasn't just for one church to be together, but to move it out. And so He did that. And a part of those processes was they learned very, very early on about giving. Matter of fact, you'll find a couple that decided to give and lied to the Holy Spirit. I read a commentary on that and said that God didn't really allow them to die. They just had heart attacks. I'm like, are you kidding me? We can't begin to think about what we think. We need to see what God's Word says again. It says they fell dead right there. They lied. How could you lie to the Holy Spirit? And it was all in their giving. It was that they lied. But the most beautiful part of this whole piece here is in the last piece. In verse 15, the very short last verse, He says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. God is saying this, I didn't give you 50%. I didn't give you 100%. God gave all that He had. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came on this earth and gave all that He had on this earth. He gave His life. And all of it was is for us. Us who are murky, sinful, all of us who have sin in our lives. And He loves us that much that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it is us that we might understand and grasp the vision and the whole piece, how we are expected to give just in the easiest way that we should, through even monetarily or even through materials or what have you. We are expected to give. And we shouldn't do it out of a grudging heart. We shouldn't do it out of a contagious and a bad attitude. We should do it excitingly, that we get to be a part of it. We should do it feeling, knowing that it is a good thing to do. It is a part of being a solid Christian. You can't take it with you. Bible says what? From the dust of the earth we are, and so we shall return. You brought nothing into this earth, and you can take nothing out. There is no U-Hauls in the funeral parlor or in the cemetery. What you have is a bunch of family fighting for the scraps. And half that stuff is junk anyway. I'm telling you, giving is a privilege. Giving is a blessing. And God blesses those who give. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. You're a child of His. He's going to bless you. But have you noticed that you that are parents, there's been times you might have blessed one more of your kids more than another? If you're walking in the ways and you're doing right, Dad might give you the keys a little bit more than he did the other one. Why? Because this one over here is more responsible. This one here understands. This one here kind of gets it. This other one over here is a little more careless. Maybe too many accidents. I don't know. Or every time she dates, she comes home late. But this one dates, she comes home on time. It's the same way in giving. This one understands giving. And listen, we don't give out of our, as Jesus says, this one here gave more than another, because this one did gave out of their riches, but she gave all that she had. Comes back to a heart thing, people. Comes back to the Holy Spirit. It comes back to the Word. This is a tough message for those who struggle with giving. This is an easy message for those who love to give. It's okay. It's not about what you make. Did you notice that? It's not about what you make. It's not about if you make $500 a week, or you make $1,000 a week, or you make $200 a week, or you only get an $800 check a week. I remember, and I'll close with this, I remember starting the church down on State Street, and there was a little lady across the street. Her name was Ruth. Remember Ruth? Ruth would tell me, Jimmy, every morning I pray for you at 2 o'clock, every morning in the morning. She goes, I don't sleep well, but I will pray for you every morning at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think I've had more prayer partners than probably any other pastor, people I don't even know. And I love it. And I'm only here because of prayer, people that pray and prayer. But she said, oh, she said, I cannot make it, but here's, she would do this. Sometimes she'd be sick, because she was sick a lot toward the end of her days. And what she would do is there would always be a little envelope in the mailbox, and it would be her giving. She would leave her giving. Was it a lot? It was what it was. And she would always tell me, I make sure I do my 10%. Here's a little bit more for the church. Here's what I do. Because she says, I love the Lord. I know what God's Word says. Listen, growing up in Jesus has nothing to do with your age. It all has to do with your spiritual age. Are you growing up in Jesus to the point where you understand what giving truly is? Let's stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. I think this kind of message is not a message where we can, you know, it's strangely enough that the Holy Spirit can save people and any kind of message. This is a message on giving and being generous, and your generosity. Now, what I'm going to ask this morning from you is, number one, if you struggle with this little apple being cut up and that's you, you just need to focus on that and pray. Okay? If you're boastful in your giving, you need to pray. We don't need to be boastful in what we give. You're just a caretaker for what God's given to you. That's all. Never was yours in the first place. Giving is a heart issue. It's a spiritual issue. It is something that takes some time. It takes a moment. It takes some praying. Hardest thing for a person to do is make changes. It really is. To make changes that are good and healthy for you. Whether it's eating habits or giving habits, whatever it may be. So this is something that you're just not going to, something you're going to make. This is something you need to make. You need to work out with the Lord. And I'm not doing this for me. This is something you need to do for yourself, you and your relationship with God. Like I said, it will help your attitude. It will help you tremendously. Giving will not feel like it's a pressure. Giving will not feel like it's, man, it'll just feel good. It'll feel good. I also know that there are some, that, and always in a crowd, there's always some that are not able to give because they don't make any funds. I always tell people this. You kneel before the Lord and tell Him that. Because maybe you need a job. Maybe you need to do something different in your life. Let me tell you something. The days of disability is coming to an end because we can't afford it in this country. If you can work, you need to work. This country's gotten really lazy lately, last 20 years. If you're on it and you need it, good for you. But the Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. And that's Bible. So let's go ahead and bow our heads for a moment. And if you'd like to come up and you want to pray,